You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the herb.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, June 13th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. At least I think it is. I don't recollect. I mean, sorry, I've been watching the Jeff Sessions hearings all day. Coming up on today's show, we've got some news in the cannabis headline news that should scare everyone in our listening audience. It's Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who testified today on Capitol Hill and basically laid out some veiled threats about the Department of Justice wanting to go after the medical marijuana states. We'll give you more detail on that in the show, plus a little more in hour two. Coming up in A Sensible Future today, our SSDP segment, we visit with University of Connecticut's Jennifer Purden. She's the chapter leader out there, going to tell us all about what they're doing to fight for marijuana legalization and some MDMA activism happening as well. In the cannabis community chat today, we visit with Stash Logic's CEO, Skip Stone, who's going to talk about Customs and Border Patrol seizing his company's odor-proof locking bags as paraphernalia. We've got our Freedom Leaf preview with Editor-in-Chief Steve Bloom telling us all about the latest issue with Tommy Chong on the cover. And at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'll tell you, you've got better choices for casino gaming than Steve Wynn and Sheldon Adelson's casinos. It's all coming up next.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on the Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the two-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the voice of the industry from the National Cannabis Industry Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your
This is your cannabis headline news for Tuesday, June 13th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. The Washington Times reports that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein hinted Tuesday there are changes on the horizon as to how the Justice Department handles marijuana enforcement in the states that have legalized the use of marijuana in some form. Quote, "We follow the law and the science. From a legal and scientific perspective, marijuana, it is an unlawful drug," end quote, Mr. Rosenstein said Tuesday during an appearance before a Senate Appropriations Committee. But he said there may be future changes to the Obama-era guidance issued by the Justice Department, known as the Cole Memo, that limited federal enforcement of marijuana laws in states that had opted to legalize medical or recreational use. Quote, "Jim Cole tried to deal with it in that memorandum. At the moment, that memo is still in effort," Mr. Rosenstein said of the policy. "Maybe there will be changes to it in the future, but we are still operating under that policy, which is an effort to balance the conflicting interests with regard to marijuana," end quote. In a Vermont public radio segment reported by Tom Angel at Mass Roots, State Senator Joe Benning, a Republican, said that new marijuana legalization legislation is, quote, close enough to what Governor Scott asked for in his veto statement, and that only minor, quote, tweaks to its language are expected. Like the previously vetoed legislation, the new bill would legalize possession of 1 ounce of marijuana and allow home cultivation of 2 mature cannabis plants and 4 seedlings, effective July 1st, 2018. It would also create a study commission to examine the possible future legalization and taxation of marijuana sales. To address Governor Scott's concerns about driving under the influence and children's access to marijuana, the revised legislation enacts new civil fines for the use of cannabis in a vehicle by a passenger, use of marijuana in a vehicle with a minor present, and cultivating cannabis at a child care center or after-school program. Medical marijuana cards will now cost as low as $50 for Nevada patients. Edible products will come in opaque childproof packages and a 10% excise tax on sales of recreational weed, estimated to generate $70 million, will be designated for Nevada's Rainy Day Fund after 3 of 4 remaining marijuana bills passed by the Nevada legislature were signed into law Monday by Governor Brian Sandoval. The Las Vegas Sun notes that Senate bills 478 and 344 were inked by the governor Monday, along with Assembly Bill 422. Only Assembly Bill 259, which would have allowed those convicted of past marijuana-related crimes involving an equal or lesser amount of what's now legal to have that crime vacated from their criminal records, was vetoed. The governor also called the language in AB 259, quote, unclear, arguing that the term, quote, other offenses, end quote, could inadvertently allow people convicted of larger marijuana crimes, like trafficking and possession of larger quantities than the current legal limit, to also have their previous crimes vacated. California Governor Jerry Brown and legislators proposed Monday to allow medical and recreational marijuana to be sold out of the same locations, reports the Los Angeles Times. The pot industry had sought to change to cut costs and the number of operations. The co-location rule was one of dozens of new regulations contained in budget bills released Monday. They are aimed at merging regulations of medical cannabis, which the legislature approved in 2015, and recreational marijuana, approved by voters in November. The measure would also make it an infraction to have opened cannabis products in a motor vehicle, similar to the open container law for alcohol. Huffington Post reports that the Australian Senate has just voted to lower barriers for terminally ill patients to access medical cannabis. Green Party leader and former doctor Richard De Natale brought on the motion in May, which would have changed the Therapeutic Goods and Other Legislation Amendment for Narcotic Drugs Regulation of 2016 to drop barriers to the importation of cannabis into Australia for terminally ill patients. Medical cannabis is currently very difficult to obtain in Australia because while doctors can prescribe it for patients, the country does not have a readily available official supply. The government had opposed the motion, claiming it would have opened the floodgates for other drugs besides cannabis to come into the country. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt called the vote, quote, a reckless and irresponsible decision, end quote. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Tuesday, June 13th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
At Herbie
Harvey's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. If you're an organization or business looking to promote your brand, we have sponsorship patronage available at mjagenda.com. Sponsorship includes 15 and 30 second ad breaks and 6 minute interviews on the podcast, depending on sponsorship level, which begins at $19.99 a month. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose, deaths, you know, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me for A Sensible Future from Students for Sensible Drug Policy every other Tuesday here on the Marijuana Agenda. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is A Sensible Future, brought to you by Students for Sensible Drug Policy at ssdp.org. Drug policy is an issue that primarily affects the young, both in terms of use and legal prosecution. SSDP believes in honest education about drugs and advocates for harm reduction policies to protect young adults and society at large. We speak with another dedicated activist from SSDP, working toward a sensible future.
Welcome back to A Sensible Future, the podcast for students for sensible drug policy. And today we go to the East Coast, where we're speaking with the chapter leader from the Yukon SSDP chapter. It's Jennifer Purden on the line with us. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're very excited about what's happening in the New England states, the great northeast of the country, where there's been a lot of reforms with regard to medical marijuana, and recently in Massachusetts and Maine, the legalization of marijuana. Tell us what's happening in Connecticut. How are things going as far as legalization in that state?
Well, it's actually really interesting because things have been changing a lot over the course of session, that it's been interesting to keep up with how the campaign has sort of fluxed in a lot of ways. So as of late, we've had a really strong final push for legalization in Connecticut that's still really to be determined, up in the air at this point. The range that I've got for likelihood goes anywhere from like 40% to 70%, I'd say, likelihood of legalizing it. And a lot of that has to do with the budget crisis in Connecticut. Because leading up until this point, where it's sort of really coming to hit the fan, there's been a lot of disagreement on both ends about whether this is the right way to bring in revenue for Connecticut, you know, and as we've seen in other states for sure. So we are lobbying and calling representatives and trying to reach out to the public through phone banking and, you know, engaging in conversations with our peers to try and get the information disseminated to legislators that this is an important issue in Connecticut.
We're really glad that you're taking up that fight at the state level. I'm also curious about at the university level, at the University of Connecticut, what are things like for cannabis consumers there? What are some of the policies and practices that you're trying to reform there at the university level?
It's actually been pretty hard to work on both the state campaign and some things on the university level. Some of the really awesome things that we've got passed in the past on campus was a medical amnesty policy or a Good Samaritan policy that treats cannabis and other drugs to a large extent, I believe, the same way as they do alcohol in terms of calling the police or calling a paramedic for someone who may be overdosing, and they being unable by law to be criminally penalized, essentially. So we're really proud of that, which was taken upon us by Sam Tracy, who has actually been working a lot on the cannabis legalization campaign, kind of spearheading the marijuana policy project's influence and connection to the Connecticut campaign. So it's been really, really great to have them on board.
Are there severe penalties at the University of Connecticut for students who are caught with marijuana?
It's not a severe penalty, I'd say, but it's pretty obnoxious in a lot of ways. I've actually personally had to go through it myself, where if you're caught on campus, sometimes they'll let you off if you're outside, not really causing any trouble or anything like that. But on campus, like in the dorms, it's treated a little bit differently, and when it happened to me, I didn't get charged with possession, but there was it was just like a civic violation, I believe, not even a misdemeanor. So they were pretty good about it, but I had to go through this university process where I met with the hall director of different halls, both mine and where I had vaporized, actually, not even smoked, in a dorm room back my freshman year of college, actually. So I also had to go to, like, this class and take this test, and it took a lot of time and was really frustrating. I had my license suspended for 3 months. Even though I wasn't caught in a car or anything like that, which doesn't really make sense, kind of punitive measure. It was just all around a pain in the neck when you're a student that's also working. I think the biggest challenge for students is that when they're actually charged with possession or if they have more than half an ounce, in Connecticut, then that will go on their criminal record, but also will affect their ability to receive financial aid. So there's this whole process where they can have to pay back money immediately. So that 6 months kind of span of time that students are given after they finish college disappears completely, and they have to start paying back the financial aid like as soon as possible, essentially. So it's pretty crazy on that end. Yeah.
So what's the activism awareness like on campus? You got a pretty robust chapter happening there?
It's actually been pretty hard with the current administration. We have smaller numbers at the moment, but we are doing a lot of really awesome things, which is exciting. And we've been working really hard on the Connecticut campaign. I would say that Yale University and our university have been working really, really hard together to establish a student coalition to legalize cannabis. And we've also had the opportunity to do some harm reduction on campus and at events through Amplify and a number of our members working with Dance Safe as well to educate people on drug-related harms, both in the nightlife and music community. So we've gotten to go to some things and different events on campus with drug education cards and information and passed out student pamphlets to educate students during finals week on stimulant use and combinations. So we've had some great educational campaigns on campus. I think that's one of our strong suits for sure at UConn, which has been really awesome. So it's definitely raised awareness.
Yeah, and that is fantastic because it's one of the things I appreciate about Students for Sensible Drug Policy is it's not Students for Sensible Marijuana Policy. You guys cover the gamut of drug use. And of course, young people are those who are the ones who are usually or most likely to be consuming some of these substances. So can you give us a look at some of the other programs or studies that you might be involved with regarding other substances?
Yeah. What I think has really taken a lot of taken its wings lately, and as I'm sure you're aware, is the psychedelic science and research movement, which has been really awesome. It's been on the forefront and cutting edge of mental health research, particularly different studies into LSD for end-of-life anxiety, psilocybin for depression, Ibogaine for substance abuse disorders, and what I've personally been very involved in our chapter has been linked up with, is the study by MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. I know it's a mouthful. For those who may not be familiar with MDMA for PTSD. So it's a little bit of a spoiler alert. I'm pretty excited about it. It's still in the works mostly, but definitely going to happen. It's just the final protocol for the study is still being worked out. But UConn actually is going to be a site for one of MAPS's MDMA for PTSD studies. So this is huge for Connecticut, I think, to see this happening at UConn. I mean, we're a pretty progressive institution, but I just didn't anticipate that being something that came to us after our chapter has been very, very well connected with MAPS, and we've volunteered at their functions every year, multiple UConn students. So it's been really awesome to be part of this psychedelic renaissance of research for people, you know, traumatized and suffering from different mental health issues. So I'm going to be working on the study as a research assistant and perhaps a night attendant for the next year or so. So it'll be really cool to see that happen. And I think the best thing about this study, this is the golden bit, is that the study is run by a woman named Monica Williams, who is focusing on race-based trauma. So this hasn't been done before. And of the data that we have now from phase two studies at MAPS, it's essentially only been done on Caucasian, primarily women, but Caucasian folks. So this is a study not just to address the diversity issues, but also to really sort of confront and start this important discussion about how the collective experience of racism in different communities has really impacted people and caused a lot of trauma through, you know, excessive microaggressions, just society institutionalized racism, symbolic violence and racism, and so really getting kind of into some of the social justice aspects of the war on drugs and criticizing to some extent the psychedelic movement for not really taking a huge initiative to incorporate not only people of color in the studies, but also people who are suffering from race-based trauma, and to discuss that instead of sort of veering away from it and on perhaps one traumatic experience itself, which has been the focus in a lot of ways, which has been great. It showed amazing efficacy in clinical trials, and it's really promising for people who have suffered from many different kind of traumas, I believe. So it's cool to see these two worlds of psychedelic policy and cannabis policy and psychedelic science and research kind of coming together to really address some of the systematic and political issues at play, and also the stereotypes and the sociological issues. So that's what's happening at UConn, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's very exciting research. I'm glad you're looking at that area of race-based trauma. If we have listeners out there that are interested in joining up with UConn's SSDP chapter or learning more about that study, Jennifer Purdon, could you give us some contact information for people to get in touch with you?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you're a UConn student, you can find us on UContact. But we are not just an organization only for students. We are also an organization for community members. One of our two or three year long now officers, Richie Chernak, is actually our public relations chair. So he's been, or they've been super, super incredible and highly involved in our chapter for years now as a community member. So it's great to have people come in from other organizations. We've had people from Normal come in, Dance States. It's been really cool. And we're open to the community as well, the greater Connecticut community. So come on by, and you can find us on Facebook at UConn Students for Sensible Drug Policy. If you search that, then you will certainly find us. As well as if you want to email us, you can email us at UConn@chapters.ssdp.org. So that's how to get in touch with us. If you send us a message, we'll get back to you as quickly as we can.
All right, that sounds great. Jennifer Purden from UConn SSDP, thanks so much for the work you're doing there, and good luck on all your endeavors.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you having me on the show again.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. Trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the Alcohol Agenda. But a lot safer.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Celebrity Marijuana Zone with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everyone. Today on the show, I wanted to discuss a situation that occurred with Customs and Border Patrol seizing the property of one Boulder, Colorado-based company. And joining us to discuss the situation is the CEO of Stash Logic, the company in question. His name is Skip Stone. And Skip, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely, because I read this report about your product, Stash Logics, and what you had put together and how Customs and Border Patrol was kind of interfering. Tell our listeners a little bit about what your product is and what's going on with CPB.
Sure. So I started a company a couple of years ago, really been up and running for about a year and a half now, and we make a locking storage case to keep medicine secure and keep it out of kids' hands. So one application is for cannabis, but there's many other uses. Really could be, it's a pretty nebulous product, very versatile. But it resembles a camera bag with a combination lock on the outside that locks the zipper, so you can't gain access. So it's a useful product for a lot of reasons, but Customs has recently deemed our product paraphernalia, and they have seized it. So it took a little bit to get to that point, and we're really disappointed with the decision there. We think it's really the wrong move, and trying to appeal this ruling, but it's legally, they have the right to seize it. So it's, I think it's the wrong decision, but that's where we stand.
Yeah, What a mess this is. Now, when they're declaring it paraphernalia, they're trying to say this is something that is obviously designed for the use, the storage, the transport of illegal drugs. But it's really just a bag with a lock that's smell-proof. I mean, you could store all sorts of things in that, couldn't you? I mean, don't you guys have customers that use it for other purposes?
Oh, sure. A big application is using it for locking medication, pharmaceuticals. There's a huge opioid epidemic happening in the country, and a lot of that stems from household storage of these really dangerous and addictive pharmaceuticals. And typically the path to these addictions runs through the home. And if you don't take care of these products, it's likely that somebody will abuse it, and that ultimately moves they ultimately move on to heroin, and overdoses happen, and it's definitely a serious problem. But really, our bags could be used for anything. I keep a coin collection that I have in mind. My kids keep marble collections, but cannabis was one of the main problems we were trying to solve. In Colorado, in 2014, they legalized recreational cannabis, and at that time, I saw all the different cannabis edibles and gummy bears and things like that, and realized, these products are going to be around. Pot cookies and brownies have been around for decades, and that will always be there. But it's pretty hard to distinguish between regular food and cannabis-infused food. So we decided that there needed to be a better, safer option for this new world.
And it smacks a little bit of hypocrisy, if you ask me, too, because the feds in the Cole memo that they put out in 2013, they said one of their concerns about marijuana legalization is we got to keep it out of the hands of children. That's what your product does. It sounds as if they're actually causing more harm by preventing this product from getting into the hands of the parents that need it.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that use cannabis recreationally, but a lot of people that use it medically, and they need it for themselves, for their kids, for all sorts of things that cannabis is becoming a super great solution for. So we are rather frustrated. Obviously, we're pretty pissed, actually, because this is the wrong message. If cannabis is legal, and we're in Colorado, across the street from our parking lot, there is about 5 or 6 grows happening. It smells like a skunk all the time. I kind of like it, but it's surprising that there's a lot of companies that can be growing and selling legally, but to store it safely is illegal. So it just seems like the federal government, we don't know if this is a sign of things to come or if they just had their wrong ruling and wrong decision on what our product was being used for. And so we've got an uphill battle.
Yeah. What does this mean as far as your company goes? Because you're getting these products from out of the country. You're getting them shipped in. What are you going to have to do now to deal with customs?
Sure. I'll quickly explain what had happened. So back in August last year, we had one shipment that looked like it was being reviewed for paraphernalia. And they decided rather quickly that it was not, and they shipped it to us. But because of that, we decided, well, we want to do the right thing. So Customs told us, well, we should get a binding ruling so that we don't have these hassles and slowdowns of getting stuff through Customs. So we did that. We submitted in November a request to get a ruling from Customs that this is, in fact, a needed product for many reasons. And they wouldn't give us an answer, and they wouldn't tell us when they would give us an answer. So 6 months went by, and in that time, we shipped 2 orders, one by air, one by boat. The boat freight that came in a little bit later made it through fine, but the air freight order got seized, and there came back with a ruling saying that this is drug paraphernalia. You're no longer able to import. So that's where we stand. We have to survive, we need to relaunch in the United States, which for many reasons is great, but having had to pay for a large order that ultimately got seized, and also having a bunch of product overseas that is in manufacturing that we're going to have to abandon, this is extremely tough pill to swallow. We are a new company, and this is bringing us to our knees, and we've laid off everybody but my partner and I, and we're trying to survive, and we think we see a path to survive, but it's not going to be easy.
So we have an action here by the federal government that has prevented the importation of locking bags that would keep drugs and cannabis out of the hands of children. It's managed to cause layoffs in a small burgeoning business in America. Wow. Talk about make America great again, Skip, huh? How's that working out for you?
Well, I guess in the sense of getting products made in the U.S., that's going to happen. But
yeah, I guess that's a silver lining. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe someday down the road, if we get through this all, it'll be just another war story in the war against drugs saga. Yeah. But
well, we appreciate the fight that you're putting up with Stash Logic, and we love the Stash Logic's bags. This is a product we definitely need to see more of in the recreational and medical states to help protect the kids, keep the medicine out of kids' hands. I'm just shocked and appalled that Customs and Border Patrol would do this, but I'm not at all surprised. Skip Stone, the CEO of Stash Logics, could you give us some contact information or websites if people want to help you out? Maybe there's some suppliers out there that can help you out or customers that want to buy some more of your products.
Sure. Right now we have inventory. So that inventory we are using to fund our next purchase for products in the U.S. So any online sales or sales in general would be extremely helpful right now. The quicker we sell, the less we will be spending and the quicker we can get production up and running. So our website is www.stashlogix, that's S-T-A-S-H, and then L-O-G-I-X.com. And we sell a lot of storage cases and accessories that complement those products.
All right. Fantastic, Skip. Thank you so much. And good luck on getting this all American Stash Logics bags made, manufactured, and sold here in America. Appreciate your work.
Thank you very much, Russ. Appreciate it. And thanks for all the good work you're doing as well.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's Boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaman Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
I'm Russ Belville with The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the Cannabis Minority Report from the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Freedom Leaf is the magazine of record for the activists working to end adult marijuana prohibition. Freedom Leaf features the latest activism updates from Normal, SSDP, and Women Grow, plus informative articles from longtime activists and cannabis experts. Join us now as we visit with Freedom Leaf Editor-in-Chief Steve Bloom in this month's Freedom Leaf Preview.
Welcome back, everyone, to our Freedom Leaf Preview, the magazine for marijuana reform activism. And our guest today is Steve Bloom, who's the executive editor there at Freedom Leaf. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll clarify that. I'm the editor-in-chief.
Editor-in-chief. Okay, we'll get the right Even title better. Going there. Yeah, okay. perfect. Of course, Freedom Leaf is distributed all throughout America and elsewhere through Normal Chapters, SSDP, Women Grow. Give people a little taste of what's going on with Freedom Leaf this month.
Well, we have Tommy Chong on the cover, so that's always exciting. It's his second appearance on the cover of Freedom Leaf. We did one a few years ago, and we came back with Tommy because we just traveled to Berlin with him. I mean, separately, but we met there, and we were at the International Cannabis Business Conference, the ICBC, that was back in April. And we did an issue around his appearance and also Freedom Leaf's visit to Germany, a little bit of a focus on international. Freedom Leaf has some international things happening. We wanted to kind of open the door to Europe to our readership.
How was that ICBC out there in April? Is Europe coming around? Are they close to where we're at, or is there still a few years lag time going?
Well, there was a lot going on. The timing was great to have the ICBC in Berlin because they passed medical marijuana law in March, and they're moving ahead. It's a complicated law. Right now, they do have cannabis available in their pharmacies that is imported from Canada and Holland. They're not growing their own yet or legally, so they're moving in that direction. So they're already starting differently than pretty much any other country, you know, by importing. So they have a different approach. They're doing kind of a bidding system. I couldn't really totally figure it out. There is a good article in the issue about Inside the Medical Marijuana Law in Germany by Marguerite Arnold, who actually is an expat who lives over there, who I met when I was there, and it was really good to make a contact with an American writer who's got a good sense of what's happening over there. So we're just kind of watching. I have to say the cannabis was not plentiful. You know, it's not like a U.S. event, especially in a legal state where there's plenty of goodies. It was a little hard to find. We had to kind of just work with what we had. There was some hash. So they have some progress to make in that area to have a little bit more available for Americans when we come over. I mean, if you're looking hard, you'll find it, but it wasn't really plentiful. And like jars and goodies that I haven't heard about dabbing and any of that kind of stuff was not really happening. There really weren't any vape pens. It was pretty basic. But it was a great event overall. It may arguably be the best ICBC because that's the idea, is to go international. And except for Vancouver last October, the event has been domestic, and now it finally went international. So that's really kind of the hope, is to extend the event to Europe and to other places around the world. And it was a really good meeting to be there to catch up with what's happening in Europe. There was a lot of people from different countries, Austria, Holland, you know, border countries. They were set up there with their you know, with their booths and their companies. There are a lot of Canadians and Americans who came as well to share information from the North America. I thought it was great. I thought it was really put together very well. It just another step in the right direction for the ICBC.
Yeah, folks, if you want to learn more about this fantastic conference, the International Cannabis Business Conference, go online to internationalcbc.com to find out more. Let's get back to the Freedom Leaf issue. Tommy Chong is on the cover of the next issue coming out, and Tommy recently had a birthday. How old is Tommy now, and what's new for Tommy Chong in the world of legalization?
Tommy's 79. He's catching up to Willie Nelson. Willie gets a year older each time, too, but he's about 5 years behind Willie, our two great marijuana heroes, aging marijuana heroes. I mean, there are others, you know, Lester Grinspoon, who's having a birthday today as well. So, and I believe he's either 89 or 90. But, you know, in the celebrity end of things, you know, I think Tommy and Willie are pretty much the two key figures these days who keep pushing the envelope with their businesses, the Willie Nelson's Reserve business and Tommy Chong's Choice. You know, they both have cannabis products available in legal states. So Tommy's, you know, working on that. That's sort of his main thing. Wherever he goes, he's promoting Chong's Choice. He said in the article that, actually in the interview, which turned into the article, that he's working on a reality series called The Search for the Most High, where cameras will just follow him around everywhere. I'm not sure if that's going to come together, but it's something he's working on with Paris, his son. And that was the interview with Tommy, was part of our continuing interview that I've been doing with Tommy over the last couple of years as part of the ICBC. So this particular one is an abridged version of the interview I do with Tommy on stage with a, you know, with more of a focus on Europe. He talked about the movies he made while in Europe. So as you know, you've seen this this interview in the past, you know, wherever we take it, we kind of amend it to, you know, suit the locale. So since we're in Europe, you know, questions. He didn't really have much to say about Germany other than he was happy to be there and he's having a good time. He hadn't really spent much time in Germany. His time was mostly spent in France back in the 80s when he was making movies, The Corsican Brothers and Still Smoking, which was made in Amsterdam. He had a period of time in his life when he and his wife and his kids lived in Europe, so he was able to kind of discuss that. And Tommy has taken a change in his approach to politics. You might have been, I'm pretty sure you were at the in Oregon after the election when he kind of came down with a surprising support for Trump, and that's kind of changed dramatically. I think he was trying to make the best of a really bad situation around that time, and he kind of rethought his opinions about Trump. So now he's against Trump again.
It's the new issue of Freedom Leaf magazine. You can read all about it, the Tommy Chong interview in it. What else could we find in this month's issue of Freedom Leaf?
Well, I'm kind of excited about two other feature articles. One is The Sinister Seven, Trump's Anti-Drug Warriors. Alan St. Pierre, who's on our team, likes to offer his opinions on policy and politicians. And so we're taking a look at, you know, what we call the Sinister Seven, you know, starting with Sessions, and then, you know, the whole cabinet of anti-drug people that Trump has assembled. So we focus on Scott Gottlieb, who was nominated to head the FDA, Tom Price, who's Health and Human Services, Chuck Rosenberg, who remains at the DEA as the administrator, Chris Christie, you know, governor of New Jersey, and lastly, John Kelly, who's head of Homeland Security. We had to take out Tom Marino out of that, in the last minute because he was proposed to be the next drug czar, and he stepped away for questionable reasons, so there's no drug czar on this list. So we focused on that. That's an interesting take on where Washington is heading as far as drug policy is concerned, and it's not a very positive view. And I'm also excited about the Dr. Bronner story we have in this issue. It's a story I've been looking for a while. We have a writer named Erin Hyde who's been doing hemp articles for us, and I asked her if she has some contacts with Dr. Bronner's, and she did, and she was able to reach out to them and get an interview with David, who is the grandson of Emmanuel, the founder of the company. Everybody knows Dr. Bronner's, especially those of us who kind of date back to the hippie era when everybody carried Dr. Bronner's around in its in their liquid containers with the kind of crazy messages on the side. And, you know, all these years later, you know, Dr. Bronner's is pretty much everywhere, and they have hemp in all their products. So we have really good article about Dr. Bronner. So that kind of eats up the feature well. And then other sections of the magazine, articles, the requisite articles from, say, Eric Altieri from Normal, representative from SSDP, representative from Women Grow, and an article by Paul Armentano. He writes for us regularly. A news article, his article this month is 5 Marijuana Myths. We also have our terrific news section that's compiled by Mona Zhang that kind of covers, you know, the latest of what's happening in the world of marijuana. You turn to the back of the magazine, you have a recipes because it's the baseball season. Take Me Out to the Bong Game is a series of recipes that you might want to take with you to the ballpark if you're doing some parking lot cooking. I took that title from a song that David Peel wrote, which was the takeoff on the old ball game song, which David Peel rewrote as the Bong Game song, or Take Me Out to the Old Bong Game. And David Peel passed away a few months ago, and he wrote that song for the High Times softball bong hitters team when I was there. So that was a little tribute to David there that probably most people won't recognize. Our friend Beth Mann, who writes regularly for us, is in England for a few months, and she's talking about how difficult it is to score weed in England. We have a review of John Mayer's new album. John Mayer's on tour with Dead & Company right now, so that's sort of always appropriate in the magazine. We tend to cover all things Grateful Dead. And matter of fact, the next issue that we're working on now is going to be our tribute to Summer of Love 50 years ago. There was, you know, the counterculture sort of blossomed all over the country, but especially in San Francisco. So we're doing a zeroing in on the meaning of the Summer of Love and what was happening in the world 50 years ago versus what we have today, and kind of a guide to the Bay Area if you feel like going out there this summer and some of the fun things you could do to celebrate the idea and the spirit of the Summer of Love. So, and that also includes this issue. The next one we're working on is a review and interview with the director of the new Grateful Dead documentary, Long Strange Trip, that's just available on Amazon now. So we're kind of zeroing on a lot of fun stuff for the next issue.
Looking forward to that. Another anniversary happening this year, the ignominious 80th anniversary of marijuana prohibition coming
that
this October 1st.
That is true. You're thinking about it. As a matter of fact, we'll reach out to you after this phone conversation. We'll talk about what you can contribute to that issue that we're going to do in the October issue. I'm going to let people know that we are working on an issue that will examine 80 years of marijuana prohibition, and you know how it started and why it's continued and when the hell will it end. So we're going to, matter of fact, Alan St. Pierre, I mentioned earlier in the conversation, is going to be doing a lot of help on that. We're kind of zeroing in on all the different people we'd like to contact to get their opinions. And we're going to do a nice special issue in October. Thanks for bringing it up.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that. It's Freedom Leaf Magazine, folks. Check out freedomleaf.com. There is a digital edition if people can't get their hands on the print one, correct?
Yeah, it's the first thing we put out. You know, when the magazine is finished, we put it up online on our website, freedomleaf.com. So it's available there to anybody, and it's always there. And then about a week or two later, you know, the print edition comes out, and that starts, you know, getting sent around the country via, as you said, Normal, SSDP, Women Grow. We're starting to work with the NCIA. We'll probably make it available at their events as well. And we're at every trade show. You know, right now we have one this week, the World Cannabis Business Congress, Congress and Expo, that's at Javits Convention Center in New York. It's kind of a big deal coming up this Thursday and Friday. They've been doing some major advertising. They're all over CNN and the buses and the subways and all over New York. They're spending a lot of money, and that kind of, you know, raises the profile of the entire issue when you get an advertising campaign like that. We were just down in Florida and Fort Lauderdale for the latest event down there, the Southwest Cannabis Conference, that's moved east. And also the NCIA conference is happening this week as well. So we're kind of spread out all over the country this week to make sure we get to all these events. I'm in New York, and we're based in Las Vegas, and we have another representative in California. So we can either fly into wherever we need to be, or if it comes to us, we'll be there. So we're big on getting the magazine out at, you know, at events. We were at the Marijuana Business Expo a few weeks ago down in Maryland. So that's another great way to pick up our magazine. And then we're available in stores and legal states. Say in New York, one of the five licensed companies that makes marijuana available to patients is called Etain. And we're available in the Etain stores all over New York State. That's the only one of the five, but that's where we're available. So if you're in Yonkers, you can walk into that store and pick up a copy of Freedom Leaf. And of course, we're available in a lot of places in California, Colorado, Washington, Oregon. And we're always looking to spread that out. Anybody listening to this, if they're in the marijuana industry, say you have a store and you would like to stock Freedom Leaf free of charge, we'll send it to you. Get in touch with us through, you could send to bloom@freedomleaf.com, and I'll direct it to who takes care of those orders. So we're always looking to expand our reach to as many people as possible.
Yeah, let's help do that. Get in touch with Steve Bloom there. He's the editor-in-chief of Freedom Leaf magazine, freedomleaf.com, and bloom@freedomleaf.com. Steve, once again, great work, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Russ. See you soon.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. Subscribe now for free at mjagenda.com.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for a cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from the Burning Issues podcast on CannabisRadio.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Just enough time in this hour for a little mini rant to remind you that if you're headed to Las Vegas to enjoy some fine gaming, take it anywhere but the Sands Casino and now the Wynn Casino, W-Y-N-N. Now, the Sands Casino, that's easy enough to explain. That's the casino empire of Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire who donated the most money, the most millions of dollars ever to try to defeat marijuana legalization, and he was mostly unsuccessful at that. But we don't want to support his casinos because of his antipathy toward marijuana legalization. But our latest story comes from the Wynn Casinos by way of Mass Roots, where their CEO, the CEO of Mass Roots, has been given a lifetime ban from gambling at the Wynn Casinos. The guy's name is Isaac Dietrich. And by the way, Mass Roots is a social media platform, basically. It's like a Facebook for weed. You can find, you know, friends, and you can find reviews on marijuana and so forth. So there's Mass Roots, the social media company, and then Isaac Dietrich, the CEO, he is part of that investment group that has just bought the controlling interest in High Times magazine. So Isaac Dietrich goes to Las Vegas. He signs up for what they call the Red Card Reward Program at the Wynn Resort Casino. It's one of those, you know, big spender deals where you get all sorts of perks when you go gamble at the Wynn Casinos. So in response, the Wynn Casinos ejected him from the casino. He's banned. He's been given the 86. In an email to Leafly, he says, quote, "I can confirm that I was permanently banned from gambling at Wynn Resorts on June 7th due to my role as chairman and CEO of a publicly traded technology company focused on the cannabis sector." End quote. So they went back and forth on this through email, and the folks at the Wynn Resort, the compliance officer is the guy's name, says, quote, "If I recall correctly, the customer due diligence procedures required by the Wynn Las Vegas compliance program identified your business as a marijuana-related entity that derives its income from marijuana businesses. Unfortunately, this puts your source of wealth in the marijuana field, as your business is being paid with proceeds from the sale of marijuana. Our regulatory requirements are not limited to identifying businesses that facilitate the sale of marijuana. We are obliged to identify the source of wealth of our customers to ensure the funds have been lawfully earned. The state versus federal debate will continue at much higher levels than this email. Until that debate is clearly resolved with respect to the Bank Secrecy Act, the Wynn Las Vegas leadership team has chosen to take the more conservative approach," end quote. So now our people, our CEOs are getting banned merely because they have some connection to marijuana. Mass Roots doesn't sell marijuana. There's nothing Mass Roots is doing that touches the marijuana plant. There's nothing there. They're doing journalism. Tom Angel's doing some fantastic journalism out there. They're doing social media platform. So now are we saying if someone talks about marijuana or reports on marijuana, that gets them banned from the Las Vegas casinos, or at least the Wynn Casino? Well, I say we take our money elsewhere. And I'm getting a note from our Las Vegas-based live chat room visitor, Maddie, who says MGM, South Point, and Boyd Gaming were all against them as well. So let's not take our money to the MGM either. And I want to know what they're going to do with the Marijuana Business Conference, the MJ Biz Daily
national conference that happens in November. It's the biggest conference in the marijuana world, like 14,000 visitors. You don't want our money either? We'll talk a little bit more about this in hour two, plus a bonus rant coming up on the feds and opiate deaths. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com. You say you're free, you're planet, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're